this morning to see that he got up early. I know he's got several churches that he does, so it's nice that we had the lot done. I appreciate also we get here and the snow is already shoveled off the walkway from the parking lot to the door. What a blessing. All I had to do is dig from my house to the car this morning, so it was nice that all these others were done. You were the same way. All the roads, the worst road I experienced coming here was 5th Street from the main road up to the parking lot. It's not bad, but that was the sloppiest road that I drove on this morning. So we're glad to have you here today on this snowy Sunday morning. We're going to be in Proverbs chapter 5 this morning. We're going through the book of Proverbs. We concluded chapter 4, and now we get to Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 5. Again, the first 9 chapters of Proverbs, the theme is wisdom. Solomon is teaching his young son from childhood, from birth up. And before he gets to the other principles that we talk about, wine, women, wickedness, well, he's already covered that one a little bit, working, wealth, all these different things, a wife. Before he covers all those, he lays the foundation of wisdom. We kind of call it in our day maybe common sense, but wisdom really is a higher level of common sense. And the reason wisdom is so lacking in our world is because common sense is so lacking in our world. And so wisdom is a higher grade of common sense. It's taking the information we know and using it wisely. So in chapter 1, we saw wisdom's plea. Wisdom crieth without. She crieth in the streets. She gives an invitation to all. In chapter 2, we saw wisdom's protection. How if we walk in the way of wisdom, it keeps us in the path of safety. Chapters 3 and 4 were wisdom's path. And that's what we concluded last week, those two chapters. The Lord shall direct thy paths if we trust in the Lord, if we walk in the way of wisdom. And that brings us to chapter 5 tonight, and that's wisdom, or this morning, that's wisdom's principles. Wisdom's principles. We're going to find in chapter 4, 4 principles for living. What has happened so far is in the first 5 chapters, Solomon has been laying again that groundwork of the necessity of wisdom. And now beginning in chapter 5 and in chapter 6, we'll see as we move on, he gives the application of that wisdom. Being wise does not equip you to go sit on a mountaintop on a blanket waiting for everybody to come to you to ooze out your wisdom. Being wise does not isolate you somewhere where you seek after God. Wisdom has practical application. And the wise man is not the one that isolates himself and gets him away from everybody, but the one that affects those around him with the wisdom that he or she has. And so the application of that wisdom, the importance of it in the first four chapters now beginning with the application of it in chapter 5 and chapter 6. So let's look at the first of the 4 principles we find in chapter 5. He says, "My son, attend to my wisdom, bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion and that thy lips may keep knowledge." We're going to look first of all at the principle of hearing. The principle of hearing. That is what Solomon is trying to encourage his son to do. Son, listen to what I'm saying. Hear the instruction. Look back at chapter 1. That's what he started it out that way. Chapter 1 and verse number 3. To receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. Notice the word receive. This is letter A under the principle of hearing. The reception of hearing. Solomon is telling his son, receive my words. Receive what I'm saying. Take it to heart. Don't discard it. We have a trend, and it's not a new trend. It's an age-old trend. Don't you love it when your kids are 1 to 11 years old and everything mom or dad says is just like it's the voice of God? They don't question it. What mom, you know, up till that point, they just, you tell them, do this, do that, and okay. Yes, daddy. But all of a sudden, something kicks in when they get 12, 13, 14, 15, and all of a sudden now the reasoning begins to develop in their brain, and so it's why? Why do I have to do this? Why do I have to do that? And and the receivers get broken. And we get through that stage, and I'm not pointing at my kids when I say all this. I'm pointing at me when I was that age doing the same thing. It seems to be a common trend. Then we get up to 20, 21, 22, and we realize that what mom or dad was telling us back when we were 1 to 11 was the same thing they told us from 12 to 20. From 1 to 11, it made all the sense in the world. From 12 to 20, we questioned it. And then from 20 on, we realized they were right in everything they said. And so Solomon is telling his son, as you get to this stage in your life where you're going to start questioning things, you're going to take what mom and dad have taught you as a foundation and now start weighing it against what your friends say. Start weighing against what you're taught in school. Start weighing it against the information you're going to be receiving from outside sources. Now when you get to that point, son, I want you still to receive. Attend to my wisdom and bow thine ear to mine understanding. The reception in verse chapter 1, verse 3, to receive the instruction. He continues that thought in chapter 2 and verse number 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments within thee, receive them. Chapter 4 and verse 10, we saw just last week, or just a couple weeks ago. Chapter 4 and verse 10, hear, O my son, and receive my sayings. So the emphasis is not just letting it go one ear and out the other ear, but to attend to my wisdom. We need to hear. We need the reception of hearing. You and I as believers, we got saved by hearing. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Our Christian growth is developed on hearing. Too many folks have the problem of wanting to be the one talking and never be the one listening. We don't grow when I don't grow when I'm preaching this to you. When I'm teaching Proverbs 5 to you, I'm not growing. I grew this week as I sat there and listened to God speak to me as I studied it out. Our problem is we speak more than we hear. And so Solomon is telling his son, be quiet, be silent, listen to what I'm saying, attend to my wisdom, and notice this, bow thine ear. The word bow, you know what that speaks of? It speaks of respect. Bow thine ear to my understanding. And so there's got to be the element of respect as we listen to our elders. We need to hear. The Bible says in James chapter 1 verse 22, and be not doers, hearers of the word only, but be doers of the word. So he says, attend to my wisdom, bow thine ear to my understanding. In the principle of hearing, this is the reception of hearing. Then verse number 2, that thou mayest regard discretion and that thy lips may keep knowledge. The result of receiving the word is the reward for hearing. The reward for hearing. Attend to my wisdom, bow thine ear, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. There's a reward for receiving wisdom. That thou mayest regard discretion. That's our thoughts. Thinking things through. Again, we've seen this word discretion several times already here in the book of Proverbs. It means a discernment which causes one to judge what is correct and proper. That's what discernment is. Something that causes one to take the elements that are there and make a wise decision. I'm going to throw something out here and I'm not going to start a debate. Should we build the wall or should we not build the wall? All right? Wisdom is when you get all the information and you look at the sides of it. And then you come to a wise conclusion. All right? Whatever it is that's out there, get the information, come to a wise conclusion. I don't want to step off the deep end here, but you know, Facebook is such a curse in this regard because people just pass on, the uneducated can pass on their thoughts as well as anybody else. I'll say it sometimes, I'm just appalled by the grammar. I'm appalled by the spelling of people that are on Facebook and simple words that are not spelled rightly. And I think, how in the world are we supposed to take this person's opinion of any value when they can't even speak the King's English? When their grammar's not right and their spelling's not right and they're telling everybody else what they should think about this thing or the other thing. And so wisdom is taking the information, gathering it, and making a wise decision. And that's what he's saying. The reward for that is thou shalt have discretion. You won't rush into things too quickly. You won't make ill-advised judgments. That thou mayest regard discretion, and then notice how it carries over. And that thy lips, thy lips. All right, it starts up here. The gear should be working up here before the transmission starts working. All right? And that's it. The brain processes, we think it out before we speak it. Boy, if that principle was in the world, that's wisdom right there. That's wisdom. We say it this way in texting or tweeting or ever. Did you think before you pushed send? All right, that's the common phrase. Did you think before you pushed send? Did you reread what you were saying? I can think of a number of times that I have written something or email or something, and I go back over and I edit it or check it. I think it through. I make sure that what I'm writing goes from discretion to knowledge. And it says that thou mayest regard discretion, that's the thoughts, and that thy lips, that's the talk, that thy lips may keep knowledge. So it goes from the thoughts to the talk. These are the two rewards for hearing wisdom. Discretion and lips keeping knowledge. The principle of hearing. In verse number 3, then Solomon moves on to another subject that he really hasn't covered in the first 4 chapters. And again, that's how we can see Solomon's son growing up, developing and aging. Because he's not, these other things, hearing and listening, receiving the words, wisdom, all this we've covered before. But for the first time, he covers this subject in verse number 5 and verse 3. For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. You can see him warning his son. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Hear me now therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house, lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel, lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. And thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ears to them that instructed me? I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation of the assembly. We've had the principle of hearing in verse 1 and 2. Verse 3 down to verse 14, we have the principle of harlots. The principle of harlots. This word is used only 2 times in the book of Proverbs. Chapter 7 and verse 10 talks about the clothing of a harlot. And we'll talk about that more when we get to chapter 7. In chapter 9 and verse 3, the word is used, he that keepeth company with a harlot spendeth his substance. And we'll talk about that when we get to chapter 29. But the word harlot is a common word in the Bible. And it is not the phrase used here. The phrase used in these verses is a strange woman. A strange woman. What is a strange woman? Well, that's simply a woman outside of the bonds of matrimony. That's what a strange woman is. A woman outside of the bonds of matrimony. Whether Solomon is an unmarried man and looking for a woman outside of commitment and marriage, or whether it is a married man who goes outside of the protection of the monogamous relationship, this is what the strange woman is. It describes her. The lips of a strange woman drop as honeycomb. Her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter as wormwood. This is Solomon. This, you know, sometimes the Bible in the Old Testament uses the word stranger, talking about those that are not of Israel. But this is obviously not the usage of the word when it says strange woman. By her description, and by her description, she can be a child of Israel. She can be a Jewish woman, but she's a strange woman because her physical relationships are outside the bonds of matrimony. The principle of harlots. Look, if you would, at letter A. verse 3 to 6. Her ways are analyzed. Her ways are analyzed. A-N-A-L-Y-Z-E-D. Her ways are analyzed. If we have wisdom, we can spot the strange woman. You know the problem in our modern society? They can't spot it. And that's not just modern, that goes back a long, long way. They can't spot the strange woman. We have a society that has destroyed the norm and made perversion the norm. And so now to the world, the strange woman is the biblical woman. The strange woman is the faithful wife and housekeeper and mother that doesn't do this and go there and have this and have that and dress like this and talk like that and watch this and watch that. That's the strange woman in modern society. But here we see the strange woman analyzed so that we can spot her. We can recognize her. Men, you and I need to be able to recognize. The problem I've seen is that the wife can recognize the strange woman faster than the husband can. Because sometimes us men are just dumb and we don't catch on. And so thank God for faithful wives that can spot things and point them out to us. So here, to analyze, Solomon is trying to teach his son. Notice her ways are analyzed. Verse 3 to 5, number 1 under her ways are analyzed. They are seductive. There's a word we don't have any problem understanding. They are seductive. For the lips of a strange woman drop as honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. Seductive, or we could say sensual. Sensual. That's the thought of modern society. To be seductive or to be sensual. The selfies that you see young girls posting all the time with a pouty mouth. Now, I didn't say potty mouth. The pouty mouth. Just the look, you know, the forlorn look, or the poochy, I don't even want to try to do it. The poochy lips. Taking all the selfies of the poochy lips. And again, for the younger girls, it's not thought of, it's not thought out, they're just doing what their friends do and what everybody else does. But that's that whole thought of the seductive thing. Of taking these facial pictures that look attractive to men. You know, we blast and rightly so, the pedophiles, the older men, younger women, or all these different kind of things, and that's wrong. But there's a seductive nature to what we're training younger generations to do that they don't even know they're doing because they're young and they're dumb and they don't have a clue. But the parents that are not supposed to be dumb don't have enough control on the children to stop them from doing these different things. And so there's a seductive nature, the lips and the mouth. The harlot is one that makes her face attractive. Now again, that doesn't mean, you know, you go to, well, no woman should make her face attractive. No, that doesn't mean that, but it means you don't go to excessive means to grab attention. You know, the cosmetic industry lives off wanting women to look like harlots. And I know this is old-fashioned preaching and old-fashioned teaching. And Brother Griffiths would say, well, that's all right, I'm a dinosaur. And I've got no problem with being like that because I just noticed the modern trends and the modern ways of women presenting themselves. And that is the way of the harlots of the Old Testament, trying to get that attention, trying to look that way. The lips of a woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. That talks not only about the appearance of her mouth, but the words of her mouth. The woman will say, well, my husband just doesn't understand me. Well, you know, you should have understood that when you got married. Your husband's never going to understand you. And you're never going to understand your husband. That's welcome to life 101. All right. That's what marriage is all about. Two people trying to come together and make a life together over their differences and over their different perspectives and their way of looking at things. All right, so that's that. But the woman, my husband doesn't understand it. Flattering with her words, speaking the right things. Her mouth is smoother than oil. But the Bible says, but her end is bitter as wormwood. There's the danger. Counting the cost, looking at the results. You know, isn't that the problem politicians have had? They get involved in these adulterous affairs or these extramarital affairs, not realizing that 10 years down the line, those things never stay buried. They always come to the surface sometime. And 10 years down the line, they're going to regret they did that, and their credibility is going to be greatly damaged and all that, because they're not looking to the end. Her end is bitter as wormwood. There's pleasure in sin for a season. All right, but it always comes back, not just with the guilty conscience, but then with having to sweep things under the rug or pay off people or whatever it might be. Her end is bitter as wormwood. Those of you that have been with us on Sunday nights in the book of Revelation, chapter 6, we saw the different plagues that start the tribulation period. And we saw that star that falls from heaven called wormwood. And when it hits the waters of the earth, they all turn bitter. And that's what the word wormwood means. It means bitter. And here it says that that's the end of her ways. Her end is bitter as wormwood. Then it says, sharp as the two-edged sword, her feet go down to death. Not only danger, her end is bitter as wormwood, not only danger, but death. Her feet go down to death, and her steps take hold on hell. It's a destructive path. It's a dangerous path. And Solomon is trying to warn his son by looking at the seductive part of the harlot. Then number two, not only are her ways as they analyze them, not only the way it's seductive, but verse number six, lest thou shouldest ponder the paths of her life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Not only are they seductive, but they are subtle. Subtle, doesn't sound like it's spelled. S-U-B-T-L-E. S-U-B-T-L-E, subtle. Look at the first part of verse 6. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life. You know, that's talking about what we just said in the previous verse. What we do now makes a difference later. The things that folks get caught up in now is going to come back to haunt them later. That extramarital relationship, that adulterous relationship, that flirtation is going to come back later to burn it. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life. So you don't think first. So you don't ponder it and look at the cost. The Bible says her waves are movable. Thou canst not know him. Know them. The enticements of the strange woman. They are enticing. Men are greatly influenced by what they see. And this woman she's got different ways. She's got different means. She's got different seductive patterns that are all subtle. Can you say it this way? Immoral people are clever and crafty. And that's the truth. Immoral people, their ways are movable. Immoral people are clever and crafty. You know, you and I that are saved and been saved and living clean and trying to live right for a long time, you know, I noticed this when I was working in the secular world, that sometimes I would say something that I didn't even give a second thought, but I would say something, and those that were around me that were of an unsaved mind would make it dirty. You ever experience that? You can say something and they can twist it or turn it or just take it in a different way and make it dirty. And it always confounded me that anything you said, they had a way to construct something filthy or vulgar or dirty out of it. But that's the way that the world is. Their ways are movable. Immoral people are always, as we said it, immoral people are crafty and they're clever. And they know how to promote unrighteousness and wickedness. That's why you and I, as children of God, need to be on our toes. We need to be guarding our hearts and guarding our ways and guarding our mouths. Because it makes us so different from the world. So the principle of harlots, her ways are analyzed. Then letter B, verse 7 to 14. Her ways avoided. Her ways avoided. All right, Solomon's telling his son, doesn't this make sense? All right, Solomon, here's how you spot it. Now here's what you do about it. knowing that the strange woman is out there, battering her eyes, buttering her upper lips, looking seductively at you. I think of Potiphar's wife, back in the story of Joseph in Potiphar's house. Now that you know how to spot this, here's what you do about it. Her way is avoided. This is where wisdom comes in. It takes wisdom to spot it, first of all, in a world that promotes that kind of thing. And then it takes wisdom to avoid it. Again, we talked about this wisdom's protection. That's what wisdom does. It protects us from the pitfalls of this life, from the pitfalls of the world. It's an ongoing theme throughout Proverbs that wisdom protects us. Notice her ways avoided. How are those ways avoided? Well, verse 7 and 8. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house. Her ways are avoided, number one, by cautiousness. There's a big long word. By cautiousness. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Notice Solomon here has even gone into the plural. It's not just my son. But hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. You know what he's telling them? If we could put it in two words, stay alert. Stay alert. Be aware. Be watchful. Be careful. Be cautious. That's what we're talking about. Cautiousness. Hear me now, therefore, you children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house. Stay away. All right, so two words for each of these. Verse 7 is stay alert. This is not on the outline. Verse number 8, stay away. Stay alert. Stay away. Stay alert. Stay away. That applies to anything that we teach our children. Stay alert. Be watchful. Be cautious. And then stay away. The drug culture is such a damning thing right now among our young people. You know, we look back over time from when most of us were in school to the days today, and it's a completely different world out there. I would not want to go back to being 16, 17, 18 in today's world. The temptations, bad enough as they were back when I was that age, are multiplied even now. And I remember the big common saying, I remember my best friend Doug on his trombone case had a big bumper sticker that just said, just say no. And I was talking about back then, marijuana. That was the worst thing out there. Marijuana was the worst thing out there. Now they're legalizing it. That's where we've come today. Now we're not worrying about marijuana. Now it's methamphetamines, cocaine, all these other drugs that are out there. That's where our society's come. We teach our children, be aware of these things. Stay aware. And then tell them, stay away. This is a great principle, not just in this thing of strange woman or of harlots, but in everything that can affect them. We want them to be aware. We don't want them to be ignorant of what's out there. They need to be aware of it, appropriate to their age, but then they need to be taught to stay away. Because here's what happens in society, among their friends. Among their friends. They're involved in things our kids are not involved in. They do things we do not permit our kids to do. And that influence spills over here. They're aware of it. Our kids know much more than we think they know. So they're aware of it from that source. We need to make sure they're aware of it from this source. And that they also, with that stare away, get the stay away from it. We need to teach and train them. Solomon is begging, he's pleading with his children. Not just his son, but all of his children. For cautiousness. Depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her. Joseph in the house with Potiphar. Potiphar's wife grabbed a hold of his garment and said, come lie with me. He didn't stop and think about it. He didn't stop and contemplate it. He ran as far as he could. He got out of that house. He ran. God rewarded him. Now, he had some rough things because of false accusations and all that, but God rewarded him for his righteousness, his staying away, getting as far away from it as he could. By cautiousness, and we'll just start on number 2. We'll run out of time here. That's verse 7 and 8. Then verse 9 to 14 is by counting. By counting. The Bible tells us to count the cost. Verse number 6. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life. Ponder. If Tiger Woods would have pondered the consequences that were going to come upon him by his illicit affair with a porn star, he never would have done it. If you're not familiar with that story, good for you. But it devastated his career. It affected his personal life. He was married with children. He got involved in immorality. He got involved with a strange woman. He kept it hidden for a couple of years until it came out, which it always does. And then he's never been the golfer or the person or the individual. Now, can I say this? He is a media darling. He is an ESPN hero as a golfer, but he is a wicked, immoral, ungodly, filthy man. But in our modern society, we gloss that over. That doesn't matter. He's a good golfer. Look what he's accomplished. So that's what we're talking about when it's talked about counting the cost. These adulterous affairs, these things, they ruin the reputation. They damage the career. Her ways avoided by counting. And we're going to have to finish this next week, pick up the 3 different things. Counting the personal loss, counting the moral loss, counting the spiritual loss, counting the cost of these things before they get involved. As Solomon is pleading with his son, with his children, analyze her ways and avoid her ways. The principle of harlots. Father, again, thank you for your word. And Lord, again, as we read it and study it, we can't miss the application to modern society. We can't miss, Father. It's just so obvious, our present day situation. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to take this wisdom from the Word of God, from the very mouth of God, from Solomon and his pen. As all scripture is given by inspiration of God, as he's warning his son and his children of the pitfalls of life, Father, help us in these principles, the principle of hearing, the principle of harlots, those others that we'll see in this chapter. Bless those that come to join us this morning. Give everyone safety and travel in Jesus' name. Amen. Take a short break and we'll begin our morning service.